Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this morning. I'm still croaking from last week, so you'll have to bear with us. I thought Thursday night, oh, was great. The voice was back, and then woke up yesterday. Brother Brian rang me from Australia, and was, because I didn't know what he was saying, or he didn't know what I was saying back on our end of the phone. But the Lord bless you, and we give everyone a warm welcome here this morning, and it's really good to see each one. And we're come to dedicate Eli this morning, and we really appreciate the opportunity to do that. We believe it's scriptural. Jesus said, "Suffer the little ones to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." And let's just bow our heads, and we're going to have a word of prayer. Praise the Lord. And if you have a need this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just raise your hand up before the Lord. God bless you. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth you've showed toward us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless each and every one that's here this morning. And Lord, we welcome the Holy Spirit into this room, and we pray that every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. We ask for the moving and the ministration of the Holy Spirit in this house this morning. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now in Jesus' precious name. Lord, you said in our weakness you're made strong.
Yes, amen.
Lord, we love you this morning because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. We pray you'll bless our coming together, especially bless Samuel and Linda, and all the family circle, and bless we Eli as he comes. And for every need in this house this morning, physical, financial, Lord, you know every heart. Bless and meet every need. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. I just want to read a couple of things about Eli. And you know the strange thing about it was, I was preaching on 1 Samuel over this last while, and there's a priest in there called Eli. And Samuel was given to Eli, and Eli brought up Samuel. But now we have Samuel bringing Eli, and Samuel's bringing up Eli. Now you might have caught that, but you know, but Eli, Hannah couldn't have children. In the Bible, Hannah couldn't have children, and Hannah prayed. And Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk when she was praying, because her mouth was moving, but there was no sound. And he thought she was drunk, and he more or less accused her of being drunk. But he realized she had a need. She couldn't have any children. And she wanted a child. And when he realized that, he said, "The Lord grant you your request." And the Lord gave Hannah a child, and he called that child Samuel. And Hannah vowed that she would loan the child to the Lord. And she brought him into Eli. And he was given to Eli in the house of God. And when he became of age, God spoke to him. God audibly spoke to him supernaturally to Samuel. But Eli, excuse me, Eli William Ian McKinstry. And that's a wonderful name. And, you know, my dad was called William, my brother's. A lot of people didn't know Rocco's right name was Ian. Nobody ever knew that. But his right name was Ian. And I'm going to have to tell you this, because I keep thinking of it, and I'm going to tell you it anyhow. There's a fellow who used to come to our house, and he was of a different persuasion than our house, just upset like that. But he came to our house anyway for a bag of blackjack sweets, and Ian was put on his knee every time he come. He bought these sweets for Ian, and Ian was sitting on his knee, and he would say to Ian, "What's your name?" And he would say, "My name's Ian." And he'd say, "Why are you called Ian?" And he says, "I'm called Ian after Big Ian Paisley." And every time Leo came, Ian was on his knee and told him how he got the name. So Eli Hugh this morning's got a name after Big Ian. Because Harry Ian wasn't as tall as Ian Paisley, but he was a big lad, wasn't he? He was a strong lad. And then William, my dad's called William. And what a great name William is. Great name. But Eli means my God. That's the biblical name, refers to my God. And the Hebrew origin is a fitting choice, you know, to that name. It means high, lifted up, ascended one. That's what Eli means. And William means determined, resolute, and protector. And we should know about that. Those of us that have a Protestant background should know William was determined, he was resolute, and he was a protector. William, some name. And then Ian means God is gracious. That's what Ian means. God is gracious. So Eli this morning has a great name. All these names, wonderful names. I want Samuel and Linda to come and bring him, and we're going to bless him. There's no great things we do. We just take the scripture, for Jesus said, suffer the little ones come unto me. We don't sprinkle with water because we don't believe it's scriptural. Jesus never did that. The disciples never did that. All we do is lay our hands on them and bless them in the name of the Lord. This is my first time to get to hold them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's a lovely lad, isn't he? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Samuel and Linda and the whole family. Pray you'll bless them. Thank you that they've come, Lord, to give Eli unto you, and we dedicate him in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that your hand of him mightily upon this young man from his youth right up, that you'll keep him, that you'll protect him, that you'll watch over him and cover him with your precious blood. In Jesus' precious name, we bless him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. He's a lovely lad. He's got the blue eyes. Praise God. Isn't God good? Amen. Now, if you have green eyes or brown eyes, they're still lovely, aren't they? I tell you, the Lord's just so good, isn't he? One side of our house is green eyes, one side's blue eyes. And some of the children's green eyes, some of the children's green eyes, blue eyes. But thank the Lord we've got sight, it's not the main thing. Let's turn to the Word of God, to Jeremiah. And I'm not going to keep you as long this morning, because I appreciate each one that's come out this morning. Jeremiah. And I want to read verse 12 of chapter 1. I don't know if this machine's on or not, Matthew. It's not on. Maybe I've hit the wrong button. It's on now, brother. Matthew's memory. Not matter, so it's all right. Can you hear me anyway? Mostly I don't really need one of these wee things here, but of course, let's stand our feet while we read one verse. Just one verse, verse 12, Jeremiah 1. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And then I'll quote you Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, your sons of Jacob are not consumed. Let's bow our heads again. Heavenly Father, bless your word till our hearts. Give us your strength and your grace. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I want this morning, just for a few moments, to speak on God resuming full and total responsibility at Calvary. And I've read Jeremiah because Jeremiah says, I will hasten my word to perform it. God's words are different than our words. God keeps his word. God watches over his word. God performs his word. God brings his word to pass. The word of God won't go, you know, we could say something and we mightn't be able to do what we say. But God does what he says. And God is a responsible God. And the state or fact of responsibility, accountability, something that's in everyone's power. Every one of us has a responsibility. Every one of us has an accountability. And God is responsible for his word. Now, none of us was responsible for it, but God's responsible for it. It's God's word. It's not your word. It's God's word. So God's responsible for his word. Therefore, he keeps his word. And we must also be responsible to each other. And we must be responsible to God. See, we can't change the word of God. And a lot of people change the word of God. I saw a thing actually this morning. And this one preacher, he got people up with different Bibles. And he stood them up the front and he said, I just want to show you something before we start. And he King James, he had the NIV, Never Intended Version, and several other versions. And he got them to read in Mark's Gospel, I think it was. It's a scripture for, the Bible says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Verse 21. And the King James read from the Bible, and the other fellow couldn't read from his Bible, for it wasn't in it. Verse 21 was missing. Somebody that's been smart took that verse out. Why? Why did they take it out? But God's word can't be changed. We cannot change the word of God because it upsets us or we don't like it. We can't change it. We have to leave the word of God the way it is. We have to believe it the way it says it because God's responsible. We were to turn to Hebrews 6 this morning. Hebrews chapter 6, and I love the book of Hebrews. And you read from verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Now I preached a sermon in this fellowship some time back, all of it God swearing by himself. And I showed you that God sweared by his right hand. He sweared by himself. He sweared by different things. God was saying, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. God done that. Verse 14 saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, it goes on talking about Abraham. Go down to me to verse 17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation to consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. So God can't lie. He swears by himself by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Now God can't lie, God won't lie, and God's a responsible God. And I want to tell you that 2,000 years ago on the cross, Jesus Christ assumed full and total responsibility back of the devil. Every one of us was sold under the law of sin and death. Romans 3 tells us all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the same book of Romans says the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. On the cross was the place for the Lord Jesus Christ took up responsibility of his own word. Because God had promised. And all down through the prophets, God showed a picture of redemption. And all down through the prophets, God showed that picture of redemption, but that actually came to fruition at the cross. When God, being a responsible God, sent his only son, Jesus Christ, and he died on that cross. And he died in your place and in my place to save you and to save me, because God's a responsible God. And here then, when we look at these things, God didn't place responsibility on someone else, but he swore by himself. And not only did he swear by himself, but he lays his life down. Jesus Christ laid his life down. We could have life. You might say, Brother Tom, I've got life this morning. Yes, you have a natural life, but that natural life's going to end. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Every one of us have a natural life, but that natural life will end. But there's another life, and it's called eternal life. And because God's responsible and a responsible person, and because he assumed full and total responsibility at Calvary, he's made a way for us to be saved. He's made a way for us to have eternal life. And you say, but how hard's this way? Jesus is this way. Jesus is the only way. The Bible says, as many as receive him, Jesus Christ, to them give God the power to become the sons of God. Now, because God's responsible and you receive Jesus Christ, and God, but a responsible God, he will give you the power to become a son of God once you believe in him. He lays his life down for it, and God cannot change his mind about his word. He can't change it. He can't take it back and change it. You could say, Tom, I'll do such a thing, but you mightn't do it. You might break your word. But God doesn't break his word. God keeps his word because he's a responsible God. Two immutable things, that means unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. Unchangeable, immutable. We can't say that about ourselves. There's not one person in this room that I can say is immutable this morning. You might say, oh, brother, I'd never fail you. I could tell you that as well. I could tell you from the heart, I'd never want to fail you, but I could maybe fail you. But God cannot fail you. And as a believer, as a Christian, the Lord can't fail you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And this word consolation means to console. Many of us need times where we're consoled, and the Lord can console us, a responsible God. It's very evident that God's responsible. Therefore, you see, because God's responsible, he's faithful. He's a faithful God. So he's not just a responsible God, he's a faithful God. Faithful. He's going to do exactly what he says he's going to do. Psalms 89, brother, verse 1 to 8. Read that, brother, you. Go ahead, brother.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Thy shewed mercies shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall be established in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up the throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who is in heaven has been compared unto the Lord? To him will the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord.
The Lord's faithful, faithful God. Now, you could go on trying to do something to better yourself, and it might work and it might not work. You could fail. I've been trying to do that for a long time. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Fall off the bandwagon. But when you call upon the Lord to be saved, God's faithful.
Amen.
He's faithful. And he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because the psalmist David says, God is a faithful God. Faithful to keep his word. faithful that he won't fail you. Faithful God. And the God is faithful. And Acts, the book of Acts, and the book of Romans, and the book of Joel say that it shall come to pass in the last days, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is only in the Lord. And when you think of what the Lord Jesus suffered on the cross, think of what he suffered on the cross. He was whipped. Stripes was placed on his back. As Micah says, his back was like a ploughed field. The psalmist David says, and Micah says, his face was beaten with a rod. They plucked his beard out. They pierced his hands. They speared his side. Jesus Christ suffered on the cross for your salvation, for my salvation. And because God's a faithful God, you know the Lord Jesus even prayed in the garden and he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus done the will of the Father the whole way to Calvary. Went the whole way to Calvary. And he was thinking of you. He was thinking of me. And you say, how do you know that? Because John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. Now, I know everybody knows John 3:16, God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But what about verse 17? You know, the Lord never came to shame us. He came to save us. Verse 17 says, for God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And because Jesus Christ assumed full and total responsibility back of the devil at Calvary. You know the devil was working. The Bible says he's a prince of the power of the earth. He's a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We all had a conversation with. We all once walked that path. But Jesus Christ conquered him at the cross. And he rose on the third day triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave, because he loves you. Now I'll tell you, I was brought up in a family, and I'm going to be real straight here this morning. Maybe you're different. When I met my wife, it took me a wee bit of time to get used with it. And our rock used to say the same thing, because we were brought up rough. My dad wouldn't have threw you on his knee and give you a hug and said, I love you, son. That never happened. It never happened. And when we met people that was hugging and stuff and saying I love you and all, took a bit of time getting used to all that. We thought there's something wrong to start. You know, how many can understand what I'm saying? How many knows that things has changed? You know, the way children used to be treated and the way they're treated now is two different things. Now, there's two extremes to that. There's two extremes. One is we need a bit of that old stuff back. And then the other extreme is it can be too much. But what I'm telling you is this morning, God loves you. God really loves you. And you might, nobody's probably ever told you really that they love you. But I want to tell you that God really loves you. And not only does God really love you, the Bible says God is love. God is love. And God's love's different than our love. You know, our love can go up and down. You can get her a bunch of flowers on Friday night and she loves you, and a bar of chocolate or whatever. Now, my wife always tells me she loves me. I don't tell her as often. She tells me. And she'll say, I love you. And I'll say, oh, that's good. But I'm just wanting to prove you a point, show you a point. God's love doesn't change. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Some people have an idea. They go to church three times a week. They pay their tithes. They're good people. So God loves them more than the wee drunkard on the corner. Well, that's wrong. You see, the wee fella that's drunk this morning, the Lord loves him. See, the wee girl that's homeless this morning, the Lord loves her. God's love is the same for all. God so loved the world Not the chosen few or the special group. God loves the world. The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish. God loves that wee fella, wee girl that's gone through depression and maybe feeling suicidal. God loves them. God wants to save them. God wants to change them. God wants to reach them. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you're feeling down. The Lord loves you. The Lord really loves you. And you know, when somebody tells you that they love you, it changes things. I can tell you that. In 1989 in High Bank Jail, that's where I was. And it was near Christmas. And every time I've had an experience with God, it's near Christmas. I don't know why that happens like that, but that's just the way it's been. Every time near Christmas. 1984 was the first time and it was heavy snow just before Christmas. 1989, High Bank Jail at Christmas. 1990, Crumlin Road Jail. You say, how many times were you in jail, boy? Christmas. But in 1989, I was in there. All my big tough mates that I run about were doing no good. None of them come to see me. None of them. The only person that came to see me was my dad. That's who came. Now my dad maybe didn't, like I said, he mightn't have showed the affection what maybe some people talk about now, but I believe my dad loved me. And he come to see me. But the devil wanted to kill me in there. He wanted me to kill myself. And he'd speak into my mind and he'd tell me to kill myself. And he'd say, nobody loves you. So you're in here, nobody loves you. Maybe I'm talking to somebody this morning. Maybe you feel nobody loves you. And I tell you, I was suicidal. I was suicidal. That's an awful place to be. It's easy to condemn somebody like that, that you, when you have never walked in them shoes. But if you've ever been down that road to what that's like, I'm telling you, it's an awful place. I get into bed. I don't know what time it was. We were locked at 7 o'clock in High Bank. And I was in a cell by myself. Prison warden locked the door. It's locked closed. There's no toilets in there, nothing. You're just given a wee bucket and stuff. And I went to bed. Late into the morning, I was waking. And I actually heard somebody walking in the room. I could hear the footsteps of a person. And I thought it was back home, and it was my mum coming to waken me for school or for work. I actually thought it was my mum. And the hand touched me. The hand touched me in the shoulder. An actual physical hand touched me. And I want to tell you, I wouldn't be afraid of too many fighting or anything. And I'm not boasting about that. I'm saying that humbly before God. If somebody had come in, I wouldn't have worried about it. But this was different. I was paralyzed to that bed. And that hand touched me. And the devil's been telling me, kill yourself. Nobody loves you. And that voice said, I love you and I give myself for you. That's what that voice said. And God can take me this morning from this pulpit, but I'll never change till I go to this earth. 10 nights, 10 nights. Every single night, the same thing happened. That voice spoke to me audibly, a voice of a man every night. I love you. I give myself for you. I tell you, I couldn't do much. I was paralyzed to where I was. I was afraid. I'd never faced fear like that fear. But eventually, I fell out of the bed onto my knees. And I cried unto the Lord. And I said, Lord, I give myself to you. God changed me. God transformed me. God didn't just change me, God transformed me. I'm telling you. My father was at home, but he hadn't been to church in years. He's backslidden for 18 years. Unknown to myself, God worked on him at the same time. He was actually praying for me, but I didn't know that then. God restored my dad. Do you know, when we came out of that jail, I remember throwing my arms around my dad and hugging him. Throwing my arms around him. Me and my dad hugged. And every bitterness the devil had built up over them years went in a flash, in a moment. Do you know why? Because of a thing called love.
Amen.
Love. Love. God's love's greater than anything. God's love will break down every barrier. God's love, when it comes into your life, it'll change you. You can be the toughest, hardest person, and a heart of stone and all the different things people use, but God's love can change you. And I turned to the Lord and I was serious. And I tell you, my friends, come, we used to go on Sundays hunting to do whatever badness we could do. And I remember the big fella coming down the entry at my mum's house. And the big fella, I'm telling you, I'm only a wee lad beside him. Our Philip can tell you, he's a big man. He's way over 20 stone, over 6 foot. And I says, I'm not going with you today. This is Sunday. And I'm going to church, I've got saved. And he didn't know what to think. And he turned his heels and went back up the entry, and away he went. There's two other fellas come over the hill in Maypole. I owed them money. There's one of them's dead. He was shot not long ago. Went down the wrong road. I said, boys, I'm not going back with you again. I met with the Lord. And you see that fella that's dead? He took his hand and he said, Tommy, you're doing the right thing. I wished I could do it. And the other fella just laughed. And that was it. God changed the path I was on.
Amen.
You see, you say, why did he change your path? I was on the broad road. Broad road. Excuse me, a broad road that's leading to destruction. A broad road that the Bible says and Jesus warned about. Many's on it, on this broad road. But there's a narrow road. And few's on it. And few's looking to go on it. They don't want to go on it. Because the God of this world has blinded them. But because Jesus took responsibility at the cross, because he loves you this morning, he can change you. And he can take you up the broad road. And he can put you on the narrow road. And the narrow road's a straight road. And it's leading up to heaven. And I'll tell you, if you're not saved this morning, you don't know the Lord. It's not about joining a church, changing your ways or any of them things. It's about coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what it's about. He's the one that'll change you. Tommy McKinsey could never have changed himself. Could never have changed his ways. But the Lord done that. You know, there's a young fella works for me. He's about 21 years of age. He's a real nice young lad. And I was sharing with him a bit of my testimony, and he happened to know a policeman that arrested me. And I didn't know he knew him, but he knew him. But that policeman's name was Ashley Silcott. And Ashley Silcott told him, yes. He said, we chased him once, and we got a phone radio message to end the chase before somebody was killed. I was in a V8 Rover car, and the police weren't catching me. But somebody was going to be killed, whether it was him or me, and the police chase was called off. Now, Ashley took me to court, and I got jail, and I was serving the Lord at the time of year. And I wrote Ashley a postcard from jail. And I told him how I got saved and how I come to the Lord. And you know, I met Ashley a couple of years ago. And he says to me, Tommy, I have still that postcard. And I heard he's got saved. I heard he's come to the Lord. And I tell you, the most important thing is not what church you're in. The most important thing is not how good of a person you are. The most important thing is that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the most important thing. You never can try and change yourself. Only the Lord can change you. And only the Lord can transform you. And I thank the Lord for transformed power. I haven't preached none of this, but I thought I was going to preach, and I'm not worried either. Let us stand our feet this morning. Praise God. Let's close our eyes and I didn't expect to say some of the things I've said, you know, but I just want to share with you from my heart. I really feel someone in this service who need to stress to you, God loves you. God really loves you. If you're here this morning, and every head bowed and every eye closed, and you want to come to the Lord, will you lift your hand up to the Lord? And it won't save you, but I'll pray for you. The Lord can change you. Even if you are saved and you just need a touch from the Lord, lift your hand up to the Lord this morning. God bless you. And I'm going to pray for you as we come to a close. God bless you. God bless you. And the musicians are going to come in a moment. We're going to sing a few songs. We'll be gone. But I want you to give opportunity where you're standing. You don't have to come forward or anything like that. I want you to pray for you are. If God has spoke to you, you can pray for your standing in your own self. And you can ask the Lord Jesus into your heart, into your life. And he'll change you, he'll transform you because he loves you. He loves you that much. He died for you on the cross because he loves you. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you this morning for your mercy, for your grace. Pray you bless the hands that's raised, meet every single need. In Jesus' precious name. Father, bless this service. Bless each one that's here. You know every heart and every life. Yes. Come against the spirit of infirmity and fear in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, we want that godly fear, yes, that make us repent. Yes. That's the fear we want, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that that's the only fear. There'll be a godly fear on your people. Yes. And Father, while the voice of the preacher sound, I pray the spirit of God speak on and pray you'll bless your brother Gary as he comes tonight to preach. And just bless your people. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Your brother Gary comes and we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. And the Lord bless each one.
Praise God. We're going to sing the hymn, Wonderful Love That Rescued Me, sunk deep in sin. We're going to remain standing while we sing it, maybe sing a chorus or two before we close. But if you're more comfortable to sit and you want to take your seat, feel free to take your seat. Just be comfortable. If you want to stand, stand. Don't be worried if somebody beside you stand and you want to sit, just you feel comfortable as we take a while this morning to worship the Lord. Wonderful love that rescued me, sunk deep in sin, guilty and vile as I could be. No hope within, when every ray of light had fled, O glorious day, raising my soul from out the dead, love found a way.
Wonderful love.